My Oedipus Complex by Frank O'Connor. Father was in the army all through the war. The first war, I mean. So, up to the age of five, I never saw much of him, and what I saw did not worry me. Sometimes I woke and there was a big figure in khaki peering down at me in the candlelight. Sometimes in the early morning I heard the slamming of the front door and the clatter of nailed boots down the cobbles of the lane. These were Father's entrances and exits. Like Santa Claus, he came and went mysteriously. In fact, I rather liked his visits, though it was an uncomfortable squeeze between Mother and him when I got into the big bed in the early morning. He smoked, which gave him a pleasant, musty smell, and shaved, an operation of astounding interest. Each time, he left a trail of souvenirs. Model tanks and Gurkha knives with handles made of bullet cases, and German helmets and cap badges, and button sticks, and all sorts of military equipment, carefully stowed away in a long box on top of the wardrobe, in case they ever came in handy. There was a bit of the magpie about Father. He expected everything to come in handy. When his back was turned, Mother let me get a chair and rummage through his treasures. She didn't seem to think so highly of them as he did. The war was the most peaceful period of my life. The window of my attic faced southeast. My mother had curtained it, but that had a small effect. I always woke with the first light, and, with all the responsibilities of the previous day melted, feeling myself rather like the sun, ready to illumine and rejoice. Life never seemed so simple and clear, and full of possibilities as then. I put my feet out from under the clothes. I called them Mrs. Left and Mrs. Right, and invented dramatic situations for them, in which they discussed the problems of the day. At least Mrs. Wright did. She was very demonstrative. But I hadn't the same control of Mrs. Left, so she mostly contented herself with nodding agreement. They discussed what Mother and I should do during the day, what Santa Claus should give a fellow for Christmas, and what steps should be taken to brighten the home. There was that little matter of the baby, for instance. Mother and I could never agree about that. Ours was the only house in the terrace without a new baby, and Mother said we couldn't afford one till Father came back from the war, because they cost 17 and 6. That showed how simple she was. The Gainies up the road had a baby, and everyone knew they couldn't afford 17 and 6. It was probably a cheap baby, and Mother wanted something really good, but I felt she was too exclusive. The Gainies' baby would have done us fine. Having settled my plans for the day, I got up, put a chair under the attic window, and lifted the frame high enough to stick out my head. The window overlooked the front gardens of the terrace behind ours, and beyond those it looked over a deep valley to the tall red brick houses, terraced up the opposite hillside, which were all still in shadow, while those at our side of the valley were all lit up, though with long, strange shadows that made them seem unfamiliar, rigid and painted. After that I went into Mother's room and climbed into the big bed. She woke, and I began to tell her of my schemes. By this time, though I never seemed to have noticed it, I was petrified in my nightshirt, and I thawed as I talked until, the last frost melted, I fell asleep beside her and woke again only when I heard her below in the kitchen making the breakfast. After breakfast we went into town, heard Mass at St. Augustine's, and said a prayer for Father, and did the shopping. If the afternoon was fine, we either went for a walk in the country or a visit to Mother's great friend in the convent, Mother St. Dominic. Mother had them all praying for Father, and every night, going to bed, I asked God to send him back safe from the war to us. Little indeed did I know what I was praying for. One morning, I got into the big bed, and there, sure enough, was Father, in his usual Santa Claus manner. But later, instead of uniform, he put on his best blue suit, and Mother was as pleased as anything. I saw nothing to be pleased about, because, out of uniform, Father was altogether less interesting, but she only beamed and explained that our prayers had been answered, and off we went to Mass to thank God for having brought Father safely home. The irony of it, that very day, when he came in to dinner, he took off his boots and put on his slippers, donned the dirty old cap he wore about the house to save him from colds, crossed his legs, and began to talk gravely to Mother, who looked anxious. Naturally, I disliked her looking anxious because it destroyed her good looks, so I interrupted them.
"Just a moment, Larry," she said gently.